Hello and welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will and this is the internet's most cranial music podcast. Does that one work? I don't know. On the show this week, I'm joined by James.
Hello.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this episode, we're going to be reviewing the new album by Bad Bad Hats. We've got the upcoming releases you need to know about, but first, the news. James, what have you got for us this week?
We've talked a lot in previous episodes about...
I assume she did, but we didn't hear it.
We've talked about Justin Bieber selling his music catalogue, Neil Young, and others. And one of the bigger companies who have done this are Hypnosis Records. And I come with news today that Hypnosis Records have been bought themselves, which I thought was kind of ironic, but yeah. They've been bought by Concord, which is also one of these companies who... buy catalogs. I think they also have Concord Label Group, Music Publishing, Theatricals, Originals. That's from their website. And they bought Hypnosis for $1.4 billion. This basically comes after Hypnosis have been really struggling. Their valuations of their assets, so the things they bought, plummeted. And then on the back of that, investors have nearly halved from September to March. A quick abstract from New York Times saying that they had an evaluation, which was announced in March. It reported that the value of Hypnosis assets reduced by 26% to just under $2 billion. And it also offered a harsh review of its business practices. And it goes on to say that Hypnosis overvalued the stuff it was buying, basically. It overstated its values. And yeah, it just overpaid for everything. So it just wasn't worth as much as it hoped it was worth. So yeah, their value just plummeted. The chairman of Hypnosis said, Robert Naylor said, "The acquisition represents an attractive opportunity for our shareholders to immediately realize their holding at a premium, mitigating the risks we see ahead to achieving a material improvement in share price." And then on the other side, from Concord, the chief executive, Bob Valentine, says, "We believe we can integrate Hypnosis catalogs into a wider portfolio of 1.2 million songs in a way that will deliver benefits for composers, performers, and all our stakeholders." So basically, they're just going to absorb it by the sounds of it. I'm not sure if they're going to do anything special, really. But yeah, I thought it was quite, like I said, quite ironic that these buyers have been bought. But also, it's a massive thing. Like, you have artists like Shakira and Neil Young, like I mentioned, their catalogue is under Hypnosis, which has just been, redistributed.
Yeah, it's an interesting story because it seems like this company was kind of a turning point in how music rights are kind of viewed financially. So, I mean, this from the Financial Times, they say, "Hypnosis was founded by music executive Mercuriadis in 2018 to turn music rights into a mainstream asset class, using the rising royalties from streaming, radio play, and performances to provide income for investors and boost valuations." So it seems like this basically kicked off this whole thing of rights being snapped up and basically used as an investment fund. And it's interesting that, yeah, it seems like basically they wanted to get acquired, so they had themselves evaluated, and then it turned out, actually, we're worth a lot less than we thought we were, although it seems like investors had lots of questions prior to that. And yeah, it just seems like it hasn't been run hugely well or sensibly. I guess they were kind of leading the way on this, so it wasn't like there was a roadmap or a agreed pricing or kind of ideas of what's sensible in this world, and they've kind of thrown in money to try and make it work, and it's not not quite worked out.
Yeah, it's funny, like, you have these big names like Justin Bieber, like, even with those massive names in their catalogue, they were still struggling. I guess they just pay too much.
I mean, that's the thing, because if you want to get massive names, you've got to pay out a lot of money. And it, you know, we saw it as we were saying, oh, all of these big names are, like, really selling off their catalogues. Like, I think the reality is that lots of people were probably overpaying, and you could have a bit of a bidding war on and get probably more for your catalogue than it really was worth. Maybe this is the bottom falling out of that, and now we're going to stop seeing quite so many of these stories, but who knows, maybe, you know, some of the bigger names like Sony and others are going to keep pursuing this because they know how to kind of balance things. And you'd imagine, since they're already an established player with an existing catalog, they kind of know a bit better what these things are actually worth and what they might realistically recoup from it.
I fear that we might be entering this kind of dystopian state where one day there'll just be one, like, overlord that owns everything ever. Like, I was going to say nationalization. It's not, because it's more than national. But that, you know, like the NHS, except it's like music, and it's not good.
Who were we talking about a couple of weeks ago that got on Apple's back? Well, basically the EU, or someone will get on their back saying that it's not good competition, and let other people buy things.
I mean, we've gone from, I mean, for a long, long time, it was the big six, right? The big six labels. And now it's the big three, because basically the others have been bought out or kind of gone down. So, I mean, it's heading that way, but I think the regulators start to kick in when it's like there's only two or three people or two or three companies in the market, and they kind of stop things from getting any worse. But they've kind of let it get to this point where, who is it, Universal, Sony and Warner? Three big, so enormous, like, what do you do? And I mean, you can see how powerful they are with the whole TikTok UMG thing. Yeah, UMG can throw their weight around and basically bully another one of the biggest companies in the world into potentially giving them a better deal. So, you know, we're heading that way. Right, should we get on to our review for this week? We're looking at the self-titled album by Bad Bad Hats. It's the Minneapolis band's fourth studio album, released on the 12th of April 2024 on Don Giovanni Records. The album's 32 minutes long with 10 tracks. Our Bandcamp review this week comes from Walrus Rodeo, who says, "Such a fun album from start to finish. I'm hooked on Kerry's voice and can't skip a single track on here. Meter Run might just be my new favourite BBH." What do we think of this album? Elle, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I'd like to thank Walrus Rodeo for that review. Enjoyed that a lot. And I also describe it as such a fun album from start to finish. I really enjoyed this one. I think it was kind of, yeah, what was after. It's fun. It's not taking itself too seriously, but there's still, like, enough to pick out that I really enjoyed. Lyrically, there were lots of moments that I found interesting. It's not, again, like the most, like, poetic or metaphorical one or anything like that, but it captures what they're trying to say really succinctly and really well. And there were some funny bits as well, or kind of like leaning into, I guess, like more tongue-in-cheek bits, which I enjoyed. And it was, yeah, quite, I was gonna say plain, that's not, I don't quite know how to phrase it properly, but it's, yeah, they're not masking the lyrics behind fanciful language. It's quite that there's a clarity to it, which I then really enjoyed, and I think works really well then with the tone of the album, which, yeah, I also really enjoyed it. It's definitely got that kind of indie rock vibe to it, but there were some nice more kind of like dance influences, which I wasn't expecting but liked hearing. There were, yeah, some synth bits like thrown in, electronic kind of things like woven in, which I felt were all done really well, I felt like there were more samples than I was kind of expecting from Bad Bad Hats. And it was nice. I felt like it was what I was looking for from a band that, you know, they've been together for a while. They kind of know what they're about. And it still felt very much like them. It's that indie rock thing. But it was nice to see they're not afraid to try out different sounds and weave that in. And I felt like it was done really well. And yeah, I think overall, like, it was, you know, just a fun album. And there were some really kind of catchy little bits. And I'm just gonna say fun again. It was just fun. And yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, and I think I'll re-listen to this one a lot.
James, what did you think?
I want to start off by saying the album art for this is, I really like it. It's really simple. It's just like daisies on a black background and some green in there, but I just think the colors are really, they stand out a lot, and I like them. So I just want to mention that, quick shout out to that. But yeah, this album, the phrase I would use is that it's infectious. It has infectious energy. It is fun, and you feel, yeah, you get that while you're listening. It has some great tones from the instruments, and also it has great vocal tones as well, and that goes with the lyrics as well. They all fit together really nicely. I think that this album has a lot of single worthy tracks on it, like tracks that really stand out and could be singles. I haven't actually checked which ones are singles, but a lot of them you do feel like that. And yeah, they just have this energy, they have this replayability. I think they are catchy, but it feels like that you could even play it on repeat, which I don't say much about songs that much, but yeah, I feel like they have a good replayability. I guess there are some tracks on here which I wouldn't play as much, but I wouldn't say they're bad or anything. I would just say they're not as fun as the others. I think the lyrics are catchy, which goes with the instruments. And generally, they're fun lyrics. There's some nice themes in there. There are bits where they feel... The lyrics feel a bit disjointed, slightly, but I mean, that's kind of nitpicky, really. But yeah, I mean, I haven't got too much to say about the album, just that I really enjoyed listening to it, just in general. Like, I feel like I could listen to it several times over and over again, because it's just fun, it's enjoyable, it's not something that's too challenging to listen to, it's not something that's going to bore me. It's just really enjoyable.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this album too. I think it's generally just kind of gives me like a fun summery vibe. It reminds me a reasonable amount of the band Cults, but with maybe more of like an upbeat kind of dancey vibe to them. And I feel like there are lots of different kind of influences that come throughout the album. So there are points where I thought, oh, this sounds kind of Tom Tom Clubby or like Talking Heads, and there were some points that made me think of like kind of early noughties singer-songwriter type pop, and we'll get into that. There's one song that made me strongly think of Taylor Swift. So I
shout out to my girl.
new album out now. When you're listening to this, make sure you listen to it on,
she needs
on
support.
TikTok. Yeah. But yeah, overall, I just think it's really strong. I mean, the only point that I think maybe detracts from it is I think in the first half, as you're kind of getting towards the middle, I felt like it slowed down a little bit. But then it comes back in so strongly in the second half that I feel like that's almost okay. And then James, like kind of like you were mentioning, that there are a few lyrical moments where I thought this could be maybe developed a bit more. In certain choruses, I just felt like maybe it was using repetition a bit too much, where it could have maybe been a bit deeper. But overall, I was really impressed by this, and I think it's going to be one that I come back to a lot over the summer, of just kind of putting it on because I want to have a fun time.
We talk about the summer. Track three, Bored in the Summer.
What a segue.
This is where I get that kind of 2000s pop feel. I mean, I see it here in other tracks, but here I think it's kind of where I first heard it, possibly. I think it's mainly in the vocals, just how the vocals are delivered. It just took me back somehow. I'm not really sure like what it is about them, but
I think
nice.
It's like that kind of like slightly country derived,
yeah,
like melody style. It doesn't have the twang to it, but it has that kind of thing. I think,
but you still get the poppiness of it, and I enjoyed the pictures which were kind of painted in the lyrics in this one. She's reminiscing about a relationship, but is in a very visual way, and I think that's done really well.
I mean, the other thing in the song that elicits that feel is it's a key change at the end, right? I don't know. It has that sound to it. I don't know if they just changed the chords or if it's actually a key change. My music theory is not great. But at the end, yeah, it's the same thing, but just switched up. And I feel like that's, again, going back to that style that you might hear less in a more modern-sounding pop song.
Yeah, I like this one as well. And yeah, I agree with kind of what you've both said in it. What I enjoyed is because of the, like, what you've kind of said in terms of, like, the musicality of it, it feels, like, vaguely nostalgic. And I think that then goes really well with what they're trying to say with the lyrics and with the song in general about kind of reminiscing on a past relationship, and particularly the lyric, it's not for me to say why I'm not more than just a missed call on your birthday, which is like quite a simple thing to say, but actually there's a lot of emotion packed into that, and quite a nostalgic thing as well, because it kind of implies that perhaps once upon a time, you know, that call wouldn't have been missed, and like they still remember the birthday, but they're, you know, the call doesn't go through or whatever. And I don't know, I just kind of liked it. It was one of those examples of the lyrics where I'm like, oh, that's quite a simple statement, but there's a lot in it. And I really enjoyed that across the whole record, that their writing style, I think, is just really nice.
I think it also kind of represents a bit of a switch up in terms of tone, because up to this point, I'd heard TPA, I don't know, as a single, and obviously previous to this song, as I was listening through to the album, and it has like, that's probably the most like talking headsy the band gets, and has that kind of post-punk type feel to it. And Let Me In as well is a bit more kind of dancey, and it's got that big synth to it, and then at the end of it, it's got this like pitched up vocal sample that feels very like big room dance tune. And then this song very much switches it towards the pop sound. So it kind of provides a contrast and a bit of a change as well.
I'd love to go into that first track a bit more, because that was one of my favorite tracks on the whole album. It has such a, like I've already mentioned, a single energy. Like it's so catchy. It's so like punchy. That pitch shifted vocal, Let Me In, it's just great. I guess simple, but great. And I really enjoy her vocal tone as well. And this is where you're first introduced to it, and it's done really well. But you still, despite the song being like bright, you still got a nice punchiness of the bass as well. So there is a nice balance there. It is surprisingly long. Maybe it could have been cut shorter a bit, but I wouldn't say that detracted from it too much.
I thought it was a really good choice to open the album with as well, because yeah, like you said, it kind of captures you immediately. And whilst yeah, like you said, well, there is then variety across the album, which is really nice, because you're never bored. It's still consistent throughout in terms of like, even though they're doing different things, it's still them. And I think with Let Me In, it really kind of sets you up for what the album's going to be, and it captures your attention immediately. Like I kind of, yeah, the first couple of seconds I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm locked in, I'm listening to this is it. Kind of immediately I was like put into like a good mood listening to it, which, yeah, was just quite nice. It's like uplifting. Even if, like, yeah, some of the lyrics, I was like, oh, it's like, not that it's sad, but it's kind of, I guess, again, like nostalgic. But it's kind of, yeah, like the whole album just feels like uplifting nostalgia, which is really fun because you get it with like the lyrics. Like in this track, you get a reference to, was it, I love you like the movies, I'm standing in the front yard with the boombox playing, you know, like that kind of typical, like very 80s vibe of, you know, films doing that. And then you also get it with the like sound as well, that you get those kind of callbacks to like noughties or 90s influences or things like that. Like the whole thing, because you constantly have these kind of references to other things, it all feels like vaguely familiar, which is quite comforting, but it's still like exciting enough to be interesting and fresh. And I think, yeah, that again lends into the listenability and like the re-listenability. Like you, James, I feel like I could like re-listen to, well, the whole album a lot, but I think particularly this song as well.
Yeah, I completely agree that it's a great opener, and it does just give you that kind of immediate kind of dopamine rush to kind of introduce the album and get you in the right headspace for the rest of it. I feel like track 7, My Heart, Your Heart, kind of does a similar thing for the second half for me, where like the previous few tracks kind of maybe slow things down a little bit from where it was before, and then this song comes in and it's a bit grittier, has a bit more edge to it, and the chorus is, it's very simple in what it's doing, because it is basically just like the guitar and the bass are playing together, and then it just drops out and lets the vocal play, and it, yeah, it just works so well and kind of gives you that extra jolt going into that final run of tracks that I think, yeah, it just like felt so well paced for me, like to as a run of the whole album.
Yeah, I couldn't really agree more with that one. I think it's simple in its components, but just when that like crunchy guitar gets in the chorus, it's like, yeah, this is it, this is what it's about. Yeah, it's just a jolt of energy. It's really good.
Yeah, this was one of my favorites on the album. Yeah, that guitar is just addictive. And My Heart, Your Heart also has, I think, my favorite lyric on the whole album, which is, when I die, I want you to have my CDs, which I was just like, wow, that's lovely. You know, I want all the CDs of everyone I've ever loved. Again, I was like, oh, that's such a simple thing, but I was like, oh, it's just really nice.
The song that gave me the most Taylor Swift energy was maybe, surprisingly, the final track, Happy, which is felt, I think, like a bit of an interesting way to close the album, because it is a lot slower and compared to like pretty much all of the other songs. But it really reminded me of Clean, the final track off of 1989, which,
great song,
is a great song, and I think one of the most underrated in Taylor Swift's catalog.
Absolutely. It was
co-written by Imogen Heap, if you're interested, who is,
we love Imogen,
an amazing, exactly, amazing artist in her own right. But this just gave me that same feel of like being a kind of slower closer and having that more kind of synthetic texture to finish off, and it just really worked for me in a way that slow ending songs often don't on albums, where I think, oh, you've kind of left me feeling a bit empty and underwhelmed at the end. It didn't happen on this one.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a slow one, done well, being given that it's the final track. You have some like airy vocals, like kind of like synthetic, like you said, and no, it does have simplicity again, but it has more emotion to it. And I think what brings you in that is that it brings a different emotion to what other tracks, other track didn't have in the rest of the album, really. It just sounded a bit different, so you just kept wanting to listen to it, really.
Yeah, I think especially because there was one point when I was listening to the album where I didn't realize I had it on repeat, like the whole album. So I listened to this track and then immediately it like went back into Let Me In. And that was a shock to the system, let me tell you. but I agree. I actually really enjoyed this as the closer. It's very different to the opener, but it, again, like I said, still not in the sense where you're like, God, these feel like they're from completely different records. They still feel like the same album, but you do feel like they are exploring kind of the different ends of the spectrum that they're on. And this track, it felt like, I don't know, like vaguely like whimsical, I guess. And I just thought it was a really lovely kind of way to close an album that talks a lot about kind of nostalgia, relationships and all of these kind of things. And for it to then end with this one where it is essentially a love letter, I guess, to kind of like a best friend, but also perhaps a lover or perhaps like anyone. Like there are kind of references to, you know, there's the lyric, my best friend calls me laughing. And then she asks like for the singer to come and see her. And the singer says, oh, I say, I'll be there, darling. And like all of this kind of stuff. It's just like a really lovely song. And when, yeah, I kind of properly listened to the lyrics, I was like, oh God, it's just really nice. And the fact that it's then got, like you said, those kind of area vocals and it's a slower track, it just feels like this quite like gentle expression of love, which I was like, that's such a beautiful way to close this album and not necessarily what I was expecting. But when I came back to it, I was like, no, it actually feels like the perfect choice.
Can I mention the two, track four and track five? I grouped them together because of the synth part. There's a bass synth which carries over between both of them, really. But they are quite different songs. So Back to My Body, is, I mean, a bit different from the previous track before that, Born in the Summer, because it's a bit, it's less bright and less happy, but it adds more intrigue to it, which I enjoyed, and that bass synth really emphasized that. I think there was a bit more emphasis on the vocals here. But then in the new stuff, you still get that synth, but you also get a brighter energy. You get this crunchy guitar tone, which I really loved. So yeah, I liked how that sound linked those two together, despite them being slightly different.
Yeah, I liked that link together as well. And I like just a lot of the sounds on the new stuff, where you get the kind of pitch bending, saw synth, and then you get this very, very unstable pitch-wise synth lead playing as well. It was just like kind of fun additions into the sound there.
I do also just want to mention one of my other favorite lyrics on the album, because, you know, I mean, there were lots that I really liked, but this one in particular I just really enjoyed. So on, again, I don't know if it's TPA or TPA, I don't know, but it has the lyric, I need no Atlas, Street View or MapQuest, because whichever street I'm on, it's a strip mall with a nail salon, which I was like, oh yeah, it like immediately conjures up the idea of like, you know, the same towns, like over in it, you could be in any of those towns, like they all look the same because they have like a strip mall with a nail salon. I feel like I vaguely know what a strip mall is, but I think, you know, you get the equivalent in every country, like where there's like the same like high street that looks identical and, you know, it's all the same thing over and over. So I thought, I was like, oh, that's just like quite a clever little lyric. I enjoyed that. But then they repeat strip mall with a nail salon. And I just really enjoyed that because you then get that image almost as though you are like going around this place and you are then on yet another street that is the same thing again and again and again, which I just enjoyed. It was a fun little lyric.
Right, let's wrap up our review by ranking the album. The current album rankings can be found over in the description for listeners. Where would we like to put Bad Bad Hats self-titled album?
This is the first week you haven't read them out.
Yeah, I've lost the will to do it.
That's fair enough. At some point, you've got to lose the will.
For me, it's somewhere between MGMT, which is at number 3, and Vacations at number 7. I think it's more consistent than Vacations, which has a few songs that I don't think are all that strong. I don't think it's as exciting and experimental as Loss of Life. But somewhere in that range, I feel like it'd be fine.
Yeah, I think it's re-listenability, if that's a word, helps the album in this case. And also, it's really fun and good. And it will be great for the summer as well. There are moments which aren't as great as other moments, but like I've already mentioned, I think it's all good anyway. So I think I would go just under Omni's Souvenir. So that would be number 6.
I think I would perhaps go slightly higher just because I think personally I know I will listen to this a lot, especially in summer. So I think I would go above Omni. Will I go? Yeah, I think I'd put it at number 5.
I think I'd agree with that. I think I'm going to return to this one more than Omni. And for that reason, I'd also put it at number 5. That's the review done for this week. Let's get on to upcoming releases. Quite a bit coming out this week. First up, Iron and Wine, the folk artist, is releasing a new album called Light Verse. I don't know how many albums he's released. This is his manyth record. So if you're a fan, I'm sure you'll like this one. If you haven't liked his previous stuff, it's probably not going to change your mind, I would imagine. Next up, if you want more folky type music, Howdy, spelt with 2 V's like always, are releasing their self-titled album. They're a band I like a lot when I listen to them, but I just feel like their output's been quite, I don't know how to describe it. They've released a lot of music and I haven't really kept up with listening to each one. So maybe this will be one to get me back in. Next up, French house duo Justice are releasing a new album called Hyperdrama. It's their first in quite a while. People seem to be getting quite excited about it. Personally, I found everything they've released since their debut album pretty disappointing and kind of gaudy in a bad way. I don't know how many things are gaudy in a good way, but I don't know. The singles from this haven't really convinced me that it's going to be anything else. But if Justice is your thing, you'll probably enjoy more of it. The Pet Shop Boys are releasing a new record called Nonetheless. I had one of the singles from it on the radio in the car, and it sounded all right. Sounds like more Pet Shop Boys, to be honest. So, you know, again, you'll know if you like it. Porridge, who are a band we've talked about on the show like years ago, are releasing their debut album. I didn't really, like, that's a long time for them to go without releasing like a proper studio album. It's called Teething. So that might be one to check out. I'll be honest, I can't really remember what their whole deal was. I know Jess talked about them, but if you want some drum and bass, Halogenics is releasing a record called Passions. And finally, if you want more dance music, Fabric, the club in London, are releasing one of their Fabric Presents mixes. This one's from Shy Girl, so should be pretty energetic and lively. That's it for upcoming releases, and that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Cheers.
Thank you, sir.
If you like the show, new episodes come out every Monday. If you're likely to forget, you can turn on notifications and subscribe on your podcast service of choice to be reminded. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at unmutedunmastered@gmail.com. I can now announce that the album for next week is Name Your Sorrow by Pillow Queens.
Play as much, play as much, play as much. play as much, 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 play as much,
play as much,
play as much, play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much,
play as much, play as much,
play as much,
play as much.